Major phone carriers make you sign contracts with rigid data plans to trap you into a kind of forced phonogamy. Sounds pretty insecure, if you ask me. At Consumer Cellular, we believe in a more consensual and healthy form of phonogamy, free of contracts and more flexible to your data needs. This way, you stick around not because we force you to with contracts and fees, but because you love our phone plans. Like, ardently love our phone plans. Phonogamously. Consumer Cellular. When freedom calls, we're here to answer. Call us at 1-888-FREEDOM.
Donate and listen to the podcast at WRWL.org.
Well, there's a fellow in Argentina. He happens to be the president, and his name is Xavier Milei. And, John, this fellow spoke at Davos there at this World Economic Forum, and he didn't make the globalists too happy. You know what he did? He went and John, he told the truth. And yes, boy, were they angry. And they were frightened. But here's a guy who would dare to get right there. You remember they had their witch out there? Did you see the witch that was out there, Davis?
Yeah, Pastor. And he's doing all sorts of incantations. And they had a real, real devil worship right there in their presence.
And then you had this fellow, Xavier, get up and tell the truth about communism and capitalism. And folks, listen to what he had to say, because more and more now, countries are deciding they want to dump communism and go back to capitalism. Go ahead.
Remarkable speeches ever delivered at the World Economic Forum. The new Argentinian president, Javier Milei, stunned the demons in Davos with truth bomb after truth bomb, defending Western civilization against the onslaught of the WEF's socialist tyrannical aspirations, and you are going to get a front row seat for this epic takedown. Hey gang, it's me, Dr. Steve, your patron professor, here to help you to think better so you can feel better in these crazy and turbulent times. So if you haven't already done so, you know what to do. Make sure to smack that bell and subscribe button. It's the spirit of producing poverty and misery.
Today I am present to inform you that the Western world is facing a significant threat. It is in danger because those who are supposed to defend the values of the Western world are co-opted by a worldview that inevitably leads to socialism and consequently to poverty and economic deprivation. Unfortunately, in recent decades, motivated by some well-intentioned desires to help others and others by the desire to belong to a privileged caste, the main leaders of the Western world have abandoned the model of freedom for different versions of what we call collectivism. We are here to tell you that collectivist experiments are never the solution to the problems that afflict the citizens of the world, but rather they are their cause. Now, when studying per capita GDP from 1800 to today, what is observed is that after the Industrial Revolution, global per capita GDP multiplied by more than 15 times, generating an explosion of wealth that lifted 90% of the world's population out of poverty. We must never forget that by the year 1800, about 95% of the world's population lived in extreme poverty, while that number dropped to 5% by the year 2020, prior to the pandemic. The conclusion is obvious. Far from being the cause of our problems, free market capitalism as an economic system is the only tool we have to end hunger, poverty, and destitution throughout the planet.
Now, what Milei is saying there has actually been developed in even greater depth by the Harvard economic historian David S. Landis in his landmark study, The Wealth and Poverty of Nations, Why Some Are So Rich and Some So Poor. And his basic thesis for the wealth and poverty of nations is actually very simple. Rich nations are once poor nations that developed free market economies, while poor nations did not. And the key to the thesis is that free market economies require governments that fundamentally do two things. One, they do not interfere with people's economic affairs. They don't hinder economic endeavors. And two, the governments protect private property rights. Right. Every poor nation contradicts those two premises. Landis found that every nation mired in poverty interfered in the economic affairs of its citizens and failed in protecting private property rights. That's the basic argument, and that's precisely what Javier Milei schooled the demons in Davos in. But as it turns out, he was just getting warmed up. Hey, gang, you know how much UFC fighters love President Trump and how much he loves them. But have you ever wondered what they do to manage their pain? Well, you don't have to, because a fellow patriot and good friend of this channel is precisely the one who provides relief to that pain. And he's here to do the same. Amazingly informative
reports were attempted. It was a failure economically. It was a failure socially. It was a failure culturally. And it also killed more than 100 million human beings. The main problem of the West today is that we not only have to confront those who, even after the fall of the wall and overwhelming evidence, continue to advocate for impoverishing socialism, but also our own leaders, thinkers, and academics who, sheltered in a misguided framework, undermine the foundations of the system that has given us the greatest wealth and prosperity in our history.
Now, there Milei is taking to task what we talked about in yesterday's video, and that's Klaus Schwab's notion of what's called stakeholder capitalism. Now, stakeholder capitalism is generally presented as a system in which corporations are oriented to supposedly serve the interests of the general population at large, not just investors, but the population at large, because as they say, we're all stakeholders in a more just, fair, equitable, and sustainable society. And so stakeholder capitalism involves instituting what is commonly referred to as ESG. That stands for environmental, social, and governance criteria. And that refers to literal scores that corporations get in relation to those key areas so that investors can show they're investing in companies that advance left-wing social justice goals, and that includes green energy, racial equity, and the like. It's basically the attempt to pressure companies to become more and more woke. We talked about this yesterday. And so that's why Milei sees socialism and wokeness going hand in hand.
Given the resounding failure of collectivist models and the undeniable advances of the free world, socialists were forced to change their agenda. They left behind the class struggle based on the economic system to replace it with other supposed social conflicts equally harmful to community life and economic growth. The first of these new battles was the ridiculous and unnatural fight between man and woman. Libertarianism already establishes equality between sexes. The cornerstone of our creed states that all men are created equal, that we all have the same unalienable rights granted by the Creator, among which are life, liberty, and property. This radical feminism agenda has led to increased state intervention, hindering the economic process. It provides jobs to bureaucrats who haven't contributed anything to society, whether through women's ministries or international organizations promoting this agenda.
So as you can see, Milei sees feminism and the war between the genders, as he put it, inextricably linked to socialist ends, precisely because they lost the class warfare argument and that socialist economies simply couldn't compete with capitalist ones. Socialists then in turn switched to a cultural warfare argument, arguing that without their constant intervention, society will forever be marred by unfairness and inequity. And Milei is like, that's absurd. You cannot be a truly free market society by definition with people being oppressed. So this whole feminist fad is utter and complete nonsense. And he went on to slam apocalyptic environmentalism and its propensity to redefine free human choices as potentially detrimental to the planet. He slammed the cultural Marxist takeover of our universities and colleges. And he slammed the whole social justice movement that ultimately always ends up with nothing other than radical injustice. Here's how Milei finished it all off, exhorting patriot entrepreneurs and freedom lovers all over the world.
Don't be intimidated by the political caste or the parasites who live off the state. Don't yield to a political class that only wants to prolong its power and preserve its privileges. You are social benefactors. You are heroes. You are the creators of the most extraordinary era of prosperity we have ever experienced. Don't let anyone say ambition is immoral. If you earn money, it's because you provide a superior product, better price, contributing to well-being. Do not yield to the advance of the state. The state is not the solution. The state is the problem itself. You are the true protagonists of this story, and know that from today, you have Argentina as an unconditional ally. Thank you very much, and long life freedom, damn it.
Long live freedom, damn it. Long live freedom. That was, without a doubt, the most epic speech ever given at the WEF, and one that I'm sure will be looked back on as a fixed point in history when the world told the demons in Davos.
Already. He sounded a lot like Ronald Reagan with an accent, huh?
Loved it. I love that.
Yeah. I mean, who dare tell the truth at Davos? I mean, right out there, telling the truth. That is not acceptable in that place. I'll tell you what else is.
Pastor, Lee, that was absolutely wonderful. I mean, he covered, in that short period of time, I mean, what a wide variety of information and proofs and truths. But he's dealing with tyrants that want to do exactly what he said not to do. So they got a dose of truth. They're choking on it probably right now.
Yeah. Right between the eyes, they got it.
Well, right after that, guess who comes out? Klaus Schwab. And he says, well, you got to know something. These elections, very soon, elections will be a thing of the past. We will no longer have elections to elect our leaders. So what do you think he means?
They want to make it a dictatorship.
Exactly.
Yeah, a totalitarian takeover, Pastor Ernie. They're the elites, and it's insulting to them that anybody should challenge them, and they can't do what they want to do, which is not the best for us, but it's the best for their perverted ideology. They literally want to destroy us, Pastor Ernie, and kill us. I mean, that's in their writings.
Oh,
they're not hiding it.
Here, this is from yesterday, Gateway Pundit. Elections will soon be a quaint relic of the past, as globalist Klaus Schwab, who points to AI as the coming king of democracy. World Economic Forum founder and chairman Klaus Schwab showed his true Nazi colors today at Davos, saying that nations will soon no longer need to bother holding elections because voters will easily be replaced by artificial intelligence. I think there's a special hot place in hell for this man. You know, we just read in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 about those professing to be wise nobles and how foolish they were. And
become fools.
Yeah. He goes and he says, AI is much more capable, he said. Schwab made the bone-chilling comments during a World Economic Forum interview with Google co-founder Sergey Brin, which was posted by X to Ezra Levant Rebel. So here, he goes on to say, one thing about technocratic globalists, they aren't bashful. They speak boastfully as if everyone shares their excitement about all the death and dehumanization of the world they envision. During the discussion, Schwab and Brin were discussing digital technology such as AI and how they could be used to advance the World Economic Forum's globalist agenda. So technology now and digital technology, they mainly have an analytical power, Schwab said, as Brin shook his head in the affirmative. So there you go.
Yeah, well, Pastor Ernie, we're supposed to jump for joy and be happy that they want to starve us to death. We're supposed to be, really thrilled that they want to give us vaccinations that will cause hearts to fail, strokes, kidney failure and all of that. We're supposed to be they're really doing this out in the open now, Pastor. They've been doing it out in the open for quite a while, and they're programming or proclaiming what they're going to do. They're not hiding it.
Well, you know, there's a good article on the Gateway Pundit. Disease X, are the globalists planning another pandemic? Of course they have been. We've been talking about that. People all over the world never want to hear the word vaccine again after the pandemic debacle. Yet, with the new mRNA biotechnology ready on the computer screen for the next genetic code to come in, you can see how vaccine ideologists cannot wait for another pandemic to test out the rapid release and enjoy the booming sales of vaccine lots of government. All they have to do is create the disease to create the virus and expose the people to it, and then as they're killing them off, you know, get rich. You know, it's an amazing thing. What is disease X?
Professor Ernie.
Yes.
Gates just came out, and it's not really new, but he just came out and said no more vaccines and needles. You're going to get a patch on your arm. And that patch is going to have, will be able to penetrate the skin, and then the whatever you want to call it, it's not a vaccine, the death shot will come in through this patch, and they can do all sorts of things, monitoring when they do it this way. So he's already said that. He just said it the other day at Davos there, that the next thing is a patch, doing away with shots. Everybody gets a patch.
Is that where the 5G comes in, where they can put nanotechnology in and turn it on like microwave?
I'm sure that that's all part of it. Yeah, probably,
you know,
yeah.
When you turn around and you look and you want to say, how did it get this far? Well, they got control of the media. And you guys know this better than I do for years. When you've got Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, Yahoo, Google, and every TV station, and look at how many homes across America has got 3 or 4 TVs, kids in the bedrooms, and all day long they're promoting vaccines, they're promoting disaster, they're programming people 24/7.
That's true, but you know, the GDC, they're out there complaining now. CDC has been complaining about they can't get people to come and take the flu shot, the new kill shot. And they say less than 38% of the people are responding. Well, they can't understand why the people don't trust the shots. What do you think, folks?
Well, geez, if you've seen the shows that I showed from, I got from Alex Jones, the mask, the shots, the vaccines and all that stuff, and you see people uncontrollably shaking, you see people's immune system going completely to hell, they're getting sicker, they're losing their memory, they're having a hard time, they've got fatigue, and they're getting all these different illnesses, and now people are realizing, well, wait a minute, one shot, two shot, three shot, they want me to get another one, and it's not working, and we're getting sicker. What do you think, John? Do you think people are finally waking up in some specter?
Yes, but they're waking up, but it takes shows like Pastor Ernie's to put it together for them, that they can see it. This show is extremely important, getting out truth. Pastor Ernie, I can remember, now the years are a little blurry, but it must be 2020, 2021, and on this show you had various doctors and medical experts, and they were all warning. They were all warning how dangerous these shots were, what they were, and every one of those were true.
Yeah, we had the top four virologists.
Yeah, this one, yeah.
In fact, we had
Dr.
the top
Sherry
four.
Dr. Tenpenny.
Yeah, in fact, we just played a clip yesterday with her in there talking about this. But the top virologists in the world.
Did her license pass to Ernie?
Yeah. Yeah. And so, that's not going to slow her down a bit. You know, she's still out there, still doing her thing. So, according to the World Health Organization, with fresh warnings from the World Health Organization that an unknown disease called X can result in 20 times more fatalities than the coronavirus pandemic, World Health Organization plans are underway the week at the annual World Economic Forum meeting in Davos. The World Health Organization will devote a panel to discuss novel effects needed to prepare the healthcare systems for the multiple challenges ahead amongst the host and who's big a pharma. Now, here's the next article, and that is this. Clearly a threat. Globalist elites soil themselves over the prospect of a Trump win. And here, it's an article by Jason Cohen, the Daily Caller. He said, global elites are expressing grave concerns over former President Donald Trump's securing re-election victory in 2024. In a statement surrounding the World Economic Forum conference in Davos, he goes on to say, European and American elites are apprehensive about the potential ramifications of another Trump presidency, according to the remarks they gave at the ahead of Davos. Bloomberg reported on Monday, the first day of the conference, they said Trump's presidency poses possible risks to the world's order based on his first term. You know, we've been there before, we survived, so we'll see what it means, BlackRock Vice Chairman Philip Hildebrand stated in the Bloomberg television interview. Certainly from a European perspective, from a kind of globalist Atlanticist perspective, it is, of course, a great concern. Trump is promoting a nationalist anti-elite message ahead of the 2024 election. He is leading the occupant in the White House, Joe Obama Biden, in all six battleground states for the 2024 hypothetical matchup, anywhere from 1 to 11 points, according to a recent Redfield-Walton strategy survey. I don't think that it's a foregone conclusion, former Vice President Al Gore told Bloomberg Television. I've been through the process. I run four national campaigns over the years, and I've seen it from the perspective. I've seen a lot of surprises over the years. Something tells me this may be a year of significant surprises. I hope it's the case because I don't want to see him re-nominated and re-elected. Well, what do you guys think about that? They know. They've come out. They've got these prostitutes. They call judges. These are prostitutes. These are George Soros bought and the World Health Organization, communists bought whores. Now, this is how God's Word, the Bible, refers to these people in Jeremiah and in Hosea. In Isaiah, those that sell their very soul, that do evil before the Lord. And what does the Bible say? Touch not my anointed. Do you think that Trump has the Lord's anointed upon him, John?
Pastor Ernie, it's amazing, but he seems to have them on the run. this here lawsuit in New York City, the judge seems to be terrified of him. And he's telling Trump's attorney, control your client. It's the judge's job to do that. And then this case now where the woman claimed Trump raped her, that thing is just coming apart with all – they've come up with emails full of lies. And then the prosecutor in Georgia, she turns to be, I guess, a whore is what you would call her, with the men under her and all sorts of violations and improper things being done. And she's under investigation now, and she's got to go before a judge. That Jack Smith, the phony special prosecutor, everything he's doing is falling apart.
Well, he is not legally even appointed. That has to be appointed by Congress, and Congress did not appoint him. So every one of those cases that he's prosecuted have to be overturned.
Tainted. Right, right. So there seems to be tremendous momentum in the political realm his way, tremendous momentum with the people, because he's the only one that's really – he's already done. We already have the action from what he did. But the politicians out there, he's the only one that can do the right thing, Pastor Ernie, and kind of help the country maybe not collapse right in front of our very eyes. Maybe the Lord would bless us with him coming back, because I don't see who has the power and the courage to stop what's going on, destroying the nation, Pastor?
Well, here's the main point. First of all, on January 6th, was he the president of the United States of America?
Yes, he was.
Now, is it the job of the president of the United States of America to make sure that elections are free and honest? If you suspect that that election was rigged, is it your job? Is it your job to investigate that?
It is, Pastor Ernie, and you just touched upon what this Jack Smith is going to have to do. He's going to have to prove that Trump knew that the election was real and sound and true, and he made up all of those things he was saying. They were all made up with him knowing that the election was true. That's what he has to prove, that Trump knew the election was true, and he made this all up.
Well, let me tell you what Trump knew. Trump knew that that election was stolen, and so did several hundred thousand people that were in Washington on that day. And that's why they were there. They were angry because, like me, and I would have been there. I would have been there had not we had two people get very ill because we were on our way. And I know that my vote was stolen, okay? It wasn't right what they did, okay? So we know, I mean, we have stacks and stacks and stacks. I probably, if you have all the articles here, have probably two feet high articles on election fraud, on where, you know, city after city after city, ballots, phony ballots out there. And so here, and again, you know that the Democratic Communist Party is planning on doing the same things. You know they cannot win an election free and clear. They know that, okay? This is why they don't want to have any identification. This is why they're giving cell phones to the illegal aliens and with a number and say, here, this is your name, register to vote.
Pastor, you know, Sanders?
Yeah.
On my TV show, I showed a lot of those videos, and you've seen them too, to in Georgia and Wisconsin and in Pennsylvania and Michigan, scene after scene. 3-4 o'clock in the morning, mail trucks coming in, delivering boxes of ballots. You've seen the movie by Dinesh D'Souza about 2,000 mules. You've seen on TV a Hannity show time and time again. They would not allow people to be at the table. It should have been one Republican, one Democrat counting the vote. They blocked the windows off. And here the trouble was that you guys reported, and I followed up on it, you had Democratic sheriffs, Democratic mayors, Democratic prosecutors, Democratic attorney generals refusing to investigate the fraud.
Right, absolutely. And so, again, the corruption, I mean, it was like in your face. Look, not only that, I was watching Trump leading Biden along, I mean, in all of these states, and all of a sudden, everything around midnight started flipping. All of a sudden, everything turned upside down. And I said, what did I just see there, okay? And folks, I'm not the only one that saw that. People across the country saw it. And so here's why. See, this is why it has to be Trump. It's because he was the one that had his election stolen from him.
Amen.
And so that's why we have to go him. Now, these people, I don't have a problem with DeSantis. I think DeSantis is a great governor, and I thought he could be a good president. But I tell you this, I don't trust Nikki Haley as far as I can throw her. What? Go ahead.
I didn't mean to interrupt you, but is it true that DeSantis wanted, there was a rumor out there that he wanted to change Social Security to the age 75. Was that a lie or was that thrown out there?
Well, I think that he did, yeah. So, but anyhow, but as far as being a governor of Florida, I think he's done a great job. But, like, I don't trust Nikki Haley. She's a rhino to the core.
Amen.
She is a rhino to the core. And The best thing that DeSantis, see, when they started attacking Trump, because Trump, one thing about Trump that he demands is loyalty, mm-hmm. right? And
right.
He's the one that he got DeSantis. DeSantis was way behind until Trump endorsed him, and Trump, pulled him through that election, and they had a handshake, and the handshake was, you're not going to run against me. Okay, I helped you get elected, but you're not going to run against me. And so, and also, Trump helped Nikki Haley. He was with her. He helped her get reelected. And, boy, she really turned on him.
You're right.
And so,
Pastor Ernie, Nikki Haley is really the New World Order. She's over there with the World Economic Forum. She's buddies with Klaus Schwab.
Wow.
So, how can we forget her? I mean, she is the New World Order.
Absolutely. And so, again, but look where she is getting most of her support is coming from Democrats. The Democrats, they're hoping that she could be the anti-Trump, okay? And so that's where she's getting most of her support for the Democrats.
What they're trying to do in New Hampshire, Pastor Ernie, is apparently you can switch. So they want the Democrats to switch party to Republican to vote for her.
They've been doing that.
They've got a move on now to do that.
They've done that across the country and local elections too. Right here where I live, they did that. The rhinos in the Republican Party actually sent letters out encouraging the Democrats to run as Republicans, okay? And that's what they're doing. And they're saying, well, we can't get elected as Democrats, but we can get elected as Republicans, but we'll still be Democrats, right? And that's basically
right.
What they're doing.
Exactly.
And in Ohio, they were referred to as the Rhino Blue 22. 22 Rhino Democrats got elected as Republicans here in Ohio.
We've got to pray continuously that God will allow Donald Trump to get reelected. If not, I'm with you and all of my friends and people that I run with. Our country is gone. It's over. If we don't win this election with Donald Trump to lower our gas prices, to lower our food prices, to lower our clothing prices, to lower the lumber, the rent, the housing, to get jobs going in the right direction, and to give us our freedom, the right to bear arms, and start and open up January 6th, all those people that were falsely thrown in for 2 years, give them a pardon and go investigate the people who did the dirty FBI stuff. Get rid of Ray. Get rid of Merrick Garland. If Donald Trump does not win, the America that I'm holding on to, it's gone.
I know. And, of course, again, everything we're seeing is, again, all of this is prophesied in Scripture. It's all of the things that are happening. Now, we have our marching orders. Our marching orders that we are to run to this, and he's given us three missions. First and foremost, the Great Commission. Second, from Genesis to Revelation, resistance to tyranny. We're to go after it. We're not just to sit back. We're to charge the tyranny, and that's what we try to do here every day on the radio. And then the third is we're to stand fast and not give up our territory. Hold fast to the traditions of the apostles and not stand down. And so that's what we're going to do. Amen?
And never compromise.
Amen.
Right. And that's again, one of where we've been from day one. Our policy has always been to no compromise. You know, when you started off the program with the idea of, that preacher that you were talking about there that was talking about, when he advised this person, this woman, to go to the so-called transgender wedding. First of all, it's not a wedding. It's a perversion
Amen.
Of a wedding. But here, and the reasoning was that I would bring a gift. That way you show that you're not bigoted. You show them you're not bigoted. You And you show them that you still have love for them. If you don't show up, then you just show them that you don't love them. And the problem with all of that is that's not, again, we read friendship of the world is what? Enmity with God.
And it has nothing to do with being bigoted. It has nothing to do with not showing love. It's a warning. You want to know what love is, folks? Love is that Jesus Christ was stripped, whipped. His beard was pulled out. He was crowned a thorn. His back was ripped wide open. His buttocks was ripped wide open. He hung on a cross naked for all the sins that we've ever committed. That's a love story. When he was on that cross, it's like a stop sign. If you bypass Jesus, you're going to get the wrath of God. But the love was that he came to save you from all these sins if you repent. That's the message that these preachers should be saying. This has nothing to do with bigotry and all this stuff. It's no, we can't sin against God.
No.
To fear God is the beginning of wisdom, knowledge, and understanding.
Yep, absolutely. And so, anyhow, we were talking, I have this one, when you're talking about Trump here, here the Maine, you know, in the Maine court, you know that, who is the Secretary of State there in Maine, how she pulled Trump off the ballot? Sheila Bellows. Well, guess what? The state Superior Court put him back on the ballot. Said, you can't do that. It's not constitutional at all. You can't do that, right? And so all of these other states, these blue states, the idea that they're going to pull Trump off the ballot. Well, let me ask you guys this, because the Democrats can't count. How many states are red compared to how many states are blue? Go ahead, John.
It depends upon the electoral college, the votes. I mean,
the electoral vote, yes.
Yeah, that's the big one on it, Pastor Ernie.
Well, I know that, but see, if you have about 2/3 of the states are red, about 2/3, and so if he's not on the ballot, I mean, if Biden is not on the ballot, 2/3 of the states there, right? I mean, is the Electoral College going to nominate someone who's not on the ballot?
I see where you're going with that.
See, so what they said was, if that's what they do, then the red states are going to retaliate by taking Biden off, and Trump will still be on the ballot in more states than all the red states.
That's
so he'll
a great
be on,
point.
But I think that's going to go to the Supreme Court, and I think they're going to put a stop to that right out of the box, okay? But who knows what some of these states like Colorado and that might do. We know this. We know that the deep state is in a panic. They are in a real panic about Trump being reelected. And
Pastor Ernie, and in addition to that, a lot of these pundits, these hard left communist pundits, they've gone like kind of beyond Trump, and they've come to us. And you know, they ignore the females, and they're saying it's white Christian men that are doing this. That's who they've identified. They don't say any. Look, there's a significant amount of blacks that vote are conservative now, and Spanish and other peoples. And they have values like we have, and they're voting for Trump, but they have zeroed in on us, white Christian males, Pastor Ernie.
And so there's a point. I mean, the point is to demonize us. So the response would be, when the communists come after us, are we just going to sit back and do nothing?
Nah, ain't happening.
Okay. So are they trying to start a civil war?
Oh, I think they've been trying for a while, Pastor Ernie. They've been baiting us for a while to get into a civil war.
You're absolutely
right. You're right.
That's exactly what they've been doing. But, you know, when it comes, are they going to like what they get?
Nope. The people that I talked with, a lot of Vietnam vets and Desert Storm and whatnot, and a lot of people that, you know, they've listened to these men talk, they're starting to get the same bravery. They're saying, hey, we lived a good life. We know what's coming. We don't want to go to no FEMA camps or no centers where they're going to try to reprogram us and torture us. Guess what? Do you ever hear the term lock and load? What they're afraid of is lead poisoning.
And let me tell you who many of them fear the most. And that is, well, old veterans. John, people, yep. Guys your age, us old white men, and not just the white men. We have a lot of black patriots, Hispanic patriots, too.
Absolutely, Pastor Ernie.
But a lot of us older guys, our families have raised, and our children and grandchildren, we've done our job, and we've been around for a while, and we're not so happy with this world that we want to stay here forever. And so we'd be willing to risk to go out and put our life on line for freedom in a heartbeat, wouldn't we?
You got that right. What is the point of living if there is no freedom? You know, to die for Jesus'
exactly.
sake, that's the best honor. And to die for your family and your country, those come right behind it.
But these cowardly Democrats out there, like, what about all of those dirty cops in D.C. in January 6th that killed, beat the women to death, the dirty, cowardly cops, those who were out there in the crowd? They're not going to be so brave where it comes to losing their own life, are they?
No.
I don't think so, Pastor Ernie. I watched a January 6th video with some, I don't know if he was a D.C. cop or a Capitol Police, probably was Capitol Police, but he had those concussion hand grenades.
Yeah.
And they were on like a balcony, and the protesters were down below, and he was indiscriminately tossing them into the crowd. And he ran out of them, and then he was stopping and asking the others that are up there with him to give him their concussion grenades, and he was throwing them. And those things, Pastor Ernie, they can do a lot of damage. There was one guy I saw, he had a hole in his cheek where that grenade apparently went off close to him, and it blew a hole. I mean, there were people down there with baby carriages and that, and they were just indiscriminately throwing them into the crowd.
The only criminals that were there that day were the ones that Chris Ray and Merrick Garland,
yep.
and Nancy Pelosi sent into the crowd. They were the only criminals, those FBI corrupt agents, what they call assets.
Were in there, they would be technically called agent provocateurs.
Right.
Right.
They referred to themselves as assets, but they were right. You were agent provocateurs.
Agent provocateurs, that's exactly what they were.
And the only one, right, that were committing insurrection were them. Now, when Trump gets into office, I think the very first thing he's going to do is pardon every one of the January 6ers.
I hope so. I pray to God he does. And then I hope he would turn around and don't broadcast it, but get special counsels aligned to go after the FBI that infiltrated and planted this stuff, and then go after Mallorca for not upholding the law and letting 15 million people in illegally, the invasion. I want him to do that secretly. Don't broadcast, but send his people out there and let's give these people a payback of how they wronged us.
Absolutely. They need, every one of them need to be that so-called select committee. Every one of those people on that committee needs to be, they need to go and spend at least 3 years in prison. What do you think? In those dirty D.C. jails.
Yes, and I want to bring Ray and I want Merrick Garland to sit there with the TV cameras running and have Fox and whatnot broadcast and give those guys a tongue lashing how they hid Hunter Biden's laptop, how they hid all these investigations and they went after people with dirt on them. Something's got to be done, because as long as the DOJ and the FBI only come after Christians, Republicans, and Trump supporters, that's pure communism. Those people need to be held responsible for that.
Well, what Trump has to do, John, when he gets in, he has to have people vetted. And we are so tired of traitors. We're tired of what Mr. Barr did. We're tired of what Mike Pence did. We are tired of traitors. Comey, all of these people, they get in there, they'll pretend to be one thing, you know, and they'll tell you whatever it is they think you want to hear. And once they get appointed, then they turn on you. They're sent in by the deep state, or they get to them. But we got to find somewhere out there, Trump's got to find people that are trustworthy.
Well, my suggestion, Pastor Ernie, is he stay away from the federal government, and he trust he get to know or people you could trust, like you take in Texas with Governor Abbott and in the Attorney General here. Have them recommend good people. Stay away from Washington and like that, Pastor Ernie. It's too polluted. The corruption is just reeking in that place.
You're telling me. Well, John, you've always wanted a good amount of time to give an invitation. And so how much time do we have there, Style? Okay. You've got your full 7 minutes tonight, John, to tell the folks how they can avoid that burning lake of fire and how they can make it to the glorious New Jerusalem.
Okay, hold on, Pastor Ernie. It's exciting to share the gospel because it's truth, folks. Jesus Christ came in the flesh. He was the only begotten Son of God. And he died on the cross and paid the penalty for our sin. The wages of sin is death. But I want to take you to the book of Revelation, chapter 5. In verse 9, and this is the church in heaven. And they're telling us, the people there are telling us how they got there. And they're singing a new song to the Lord. We're singing a new song to the Lord. And it says, "Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred, tongue, people, and nation." So the people there in the presence of Jesus Christ tell us, it's not just me sharing it from the scriptures, but the people himself, because Jesus died, thou was slain, he died on the cross, and has redeemed us by thy blood. And if you can't sing that song, folks, you don't have eternal life. You know, Jesus Christ died on the cross as the only begotten Son of God, sinless, only begotten Son of God. He had to be sinless. He didn't need a savior from sin. He was the savior. He did not have a sin nature like we have. So therefore, when he died on the cross, he was sinless, and God put our sin on him. And it was like a trade. He took our sin, and we received his righteousness. And because we received his righteousness, we can go to heaven, because his righteousness was applied to us. So that's why good works, folks, has really nothing to do with this. It's faith in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Here's a question for both of you two guys, John, because people will ask, since God is all powerful, why did he have to let his son? I remember hearing an apostate preacher say, "I could never worship a God who would allow his own son to become a bloody pulp on the cross." So then tell them, and both of you guys, why that had to happen. Why did God demand the Lord Jesus Christ? Why was it that only Christ could fit the bill to die as? Go ahead.
Well, Pastor Ernie, because God is holy. and he is without sin. And sin is it's a terrible offense to God, which the Bible says. And there's a penalty for sin. The wages of sin is death. And in love, Jesus Christ came, and he was the only begotten Son of God, sinless, only begotten Son of God. And he died in our place. That's how it works, because God is holy, he's righteous, he's just. Sin is a serious, like, crime against him. So he provided his only begotten Son for us to die. That's the reason, Pastor Ernie.
Well, there
was one other thing, too. Only the blood of bull and goats could not take away sins. Only God's blood was strong enough to take away our sins, and it had to be God's blood that was shed to wash our sins away.
Yeah, and that's because Jesus Christ was sinless, and he didn't need a Savior. Every sinner needs a Savior. He didn't need a Savior. He was or is or was the Savior.
Amen.
And so God provided his way. It's his way, folks. He's the creator of the universe. So he died in our place. And if we reject Jesus Christ, then we have to stand before the holy God in judgment day and answer for every single sin we committed. And the result of that is what the Bible calls the lake of fire, because God is holy and he's just.
Amen.
So he provided the way, folks. And it's Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by him. He is the Savior. Pastor Ernie, how much time is left?
2 minutes.
Yeah. Now, in addition to that, not only did Christ come to save us from sin, and that we can have eternal life, and also part of that, folks, we need to repent and also believe that he rose from the dead.
Amen.
But he also came to heal the brokenhearted, and this is very important, because especially today, so many people are suffering. They're without hope. They're severely depressed. They're maybe even suicidal. They are extremely lonely.
1 minute.
I mean, there's study after study showing this. So not only does God want to save your soul through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, but he wants to heal your broken heart. He wants to give you the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. He wants that loneliness. God is the Comforter. He wants to heal you from suicidal thoughts, from severe depression. He wants to fill you with his joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength. He wants to fill you with his peace, heal hearts. That's the full ministry of Jesus Christ, which is available right now. And it's done by repenting of sin and confessing with your mouth that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. He died on the cross and shed his blood to pay the penalty for your sin. And then he rose again the third day. And with that, God then wants to move and heal broken hearts.
Right. We're out of time for tonight. We come to that point, and there is nothing anyone has ever done, could ever do, and would ever do is that'll mean as much to him as calling him by the name of the Lord. But we want to say good night. Say good night. Say God bless.
God bless.
And say always
keep
fighting the fight.
Fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
cable news, noisy, boring, out of touch. That's why Salem News Channel is different. We keep you in the know, streaming 24/7 for free. Home to the greatest collection of conservative voices like Dennis Prager, Jay Sekulow, Mike Gallagher, and more. Salem News Channel is unfiltered and unapologetic. Watch anytime, on any screen, at snc.tv and local now, channel 525.